Thank you for welcoming us here. It's good to be here, and good morning to you. It's a good morning. It's wonderful to have this nice, clear weather and a little bit of freshness, too. Now, for those of us who have spent a lot of time in Africa, sometimes when we stood up, why, we were already sweating because it was hot and there was no air conditioning where we lived. So it's good to be here. It's good to be able to share the Word of God with you. When John asked me to speak on missions, I was kind of wondering, well, what do I do? I've not been a missionary in Africa for a long time, and a lot of things have changed since we were there. Nevertheless, we still have a mission here in America, and wherever we are missionaries, aren't we? I've been leading a Bible study at the church we attend in the Des Moines area, and it's been the Gospel of John. Been through it a few times, but this time has been a little bit different for me because I'm leading it in a different way. We have a bunch of men that want to get together and not have somebody else's thoughts to be following in a book that helps us get through it, but we just dig into the scripture together, and it's been a real privilege to do that with a whole variety of people, variety of ages, from the early 30s to early 80s, and different backgrounds. And some things have stuck out on this time through. One thing that really has hit me is how Jesus used earthly things to illustrate heavenly things. He told, if you want to read a chapter that has a lot of parables, and parables are stories about earthly things that illustrate heavenly things, go to Matthew chapter 13. And there's a whole bunch of them in there. And Jesus knew how to use these earthly things to speak heavenly things. Now, I came on this thing when this idea in John chapter 3. But before we go there, let's ask the Lord's blessing on this message. Father in heaven, you have spoken to me about these things, and I pray that you will also speak to this congregation. And you have spoken to many, many of your people down through the years with the same idea. And you are just asking me to remind us of these things this morning. Thank and praise you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the things that we remember today because of what happened many, many years ago, 507 years ago. Lord, you have been good to us, and we thank you for that stream of truth that has continued to run through the middle of the church. And may we keep that truth in the center of our hearts as well. So bless this time together, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to read this, but I want you to be, I'll alert you when we're going to get to the earthly things and heavenly things when we get there. So there was a man named Nicodemus that came to Jesus one night. He was a pretty important person in the council of the Jewish council of that time. And the Jewish council was mostly against Jesus. But Nicodemus saw something in Jesus. And so he went at nighttime. I think he had a hoodie on, pulled over his head, and probably not with all the phylacteries and everything. So he came to Jesus. And this is what he said. Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, he called him Rabbi. He didn't call him Messiah. He called him Rabbi. So he wasn't quite convinced yet. Then Jesus answered him, what would you think if Jesus answered you this way? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What in the world does that have to do with anything I've just asked you, Jesus? Born again. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Well, Jesus has just told him something that is a spiritual truth illustrated by an earthly truth, but Nicodemus hadn't gotten it yet. Jesus said, Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed then that I say to you, you must be born again. You're born again in the flesh, but you need to have another birth, a new birth. The wind blows where it wishes, we know a lot about wind here in Iowa, don't we? But weather helps us know where it's coming from and where it's going to. And generally what I face is the wind is going the wrong direction for me when I'm going down the road. I wish it would go behind me all the time. I get much, much better mileage. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? I don't get it. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Now listen to this. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe them, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? You come to me wanting to know heavenly things, but you don't even understand the earthly things. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here's another thing that they already knew in the land of Israel. So that whoever believes will will in him have eternal life. Nicodemus knew that no one could do the things that Jesus did unless God was with him. But he was scared to let his fellow cohort of rabbis know that he was questioning things. But then Jesus' response confuses him with an enigmatic saying when he says, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So then Jesus starts to unpack this mystery of being born again with more mysterious answers, it seems to me. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Do not be amazed that you must be born again. So here's the question. How can we see or understand the heavenly reality by understanding the earthly reality? This is where missions comes in. This is where missions come in. Pastor John asked me to tell you a little bit about what we are doing in Africa. That's what we're doing. We are illustrating earthly realities. We're demonstrating through earthly realities what is true in a heavenly reality. We go to places where we have to learn their language, learn their culture, learn their worldview, whether it's pink, yellow, blue, glasses, or green, and deliver the good news about Jesus in a way that the ones who God has called to salvation understand and believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's no small task. That's no small task. Matthew also helps us, and I've alluded to this already, in how we do this when he brings up all these parables. Read through Matthew. There's so many parables. John only records, I think it's 7 or 8 parables in his gospel. But he just chose certain ones to illustrate heavenly truths. Matthew talks about seeds, how they grow in different kinds of soils. A lot of you are farmers. You know that you have good soils and bad soils. When we moved to Ankeny, we got a brand new townhome, and it looked really nice when we got there. However, we found out that they had taken out all the good soil on the top and filled it back in with clay, and then they just laid a layer of grass with a little bit of good soil on there. And I've been trying to correct this terrible soil underneath that for the long time, and I've been dumping gypsum on the thing two times a year, and it still is no good. So it's not the place you want to plant anything. You have to know your soils. My wife grew up in a place in Minnesota where they have a lot of rocks. And they did a lot of rock picking. But by the time I met her, her hands had smoothed out a little bit. You know what that's all about, don't you? She developed a good back, though. So we consider our work in Africa in light of Jesus' many parables and the way he brought the message about himself to the world of his time. I like the story of Jesus as he's going back to Galilee after he spent some time in Jerusalem, and he takes a shortcut up through Samaria. I don't know how to even illustrate that in here. That's like asking somebody from Joyce, Iowa, to say, let's just take a shortcut and let's go right through the middle of New York City and get up to Boston. Oh, no, there are just different people there. Well, they went up through Sychar, Samaria. And they get to this well, deep well, delicious water, and no way to get a hold of that water, but they still needed food. So the disciples go on into Sychar to pick up some food. Meanwhile, this lady comes out to draw water. Now, why does she come out at noon? The other ladies go out in the morning. The others come out in the late evening, but they don't come out at noon. It's hot. I don't know if you've ever carried water on your head in the middle of the hot day. No, it's not the time to do it. You do it in the coolness of the day. She came out in the middle of the day, and that meant something, and Jesus knew what it meant. She was rejected by the others in the city. She was a woman of ill repute. So he just asks her a simple question. Please, would you give me a drink of water, please? She looks at him. Can you just see her? Look, don't you know that I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew and you're asking me to give you water? You got to be kidding me. And then Jesus answers with an answer. If you know who it was that was speaking to you, you would ask me and I would give you living water, and that would really quench your thirst. Okay, how are you going to do that? Where's your pail? Where's your rope? The water here is really very, very deep, even though it is very good. Jesus continues with the conversation. And he says, if you knew who it was that's speaking to you, you'd ask me for water, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. You know, he's just roping her in, getting more and more curious. Finally, she says, give me some of that water so that I don't have to come out here and draw water all the time. Okay. Go and call your husband. Bingo. She says, I have no husband to call. Yeah, I know what Jesus says. You've had 5 husbands, and the one that you're living with now is not your husband. Oh, so we're going to talk about spiritual things. Well, she says, you know that we, the Samaritans, we believe that we can worship God here. But you say you have to worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, look, a time is coming when neither here or in Jerusalem, but when we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Well, the disciples come shuffling back from Sychar with their bread and whatever else, and they find Jesus talking to this woman who they know that, because she's there at that time, was probably not a respectable woman. I mean, we pastors, we have to be careful about whom we're seen with at different places, right, John? We have to be very careful. And so the disciples come, and John says, none of us dared to ask Jesus what he's doing with that woman. But the woman, she sees that this conversation is over with, so she runs back into town. She becomes the first missionary amongst the Samaritans to her people. She says, come and see. Come and see this guy. He told me everything I ever did. My snarky part says, I bet you those men wanted to really hear all the stuff she'd ever done. But they came to hear good news that they'd never heard before.